chapter, but we'll read the first 13 verses of Romans chapter 8. I've entitled my message this morning, Salvation as Plain as Day. And that is certainly my goal here this morning, is to explain salvation as plainly as I can. And through the Word of God, I'm sure that the Spirit of God will work to that end. So we'll read Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Sorry, I said Romans 8. Romans chapter 10, begin reading at verse 1. It says, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, Say not in thine heart, Who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. This is a verse we want to look at more specifically this morning. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We'll end our reading there. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a lot in those few verses, and we're certainly not going to be able to touch on everything that's in there. But verse 13 is mentioned a number of times in Scripture, and I thought, as I looked at that verse, it's very plain, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And there's a lot of things implied there, and that's what we want to look at this morning. There's some terms within that verse. I guess I'll begin by saying this. There's going to be some things said this morning, probably, that if you're not saved, and we're going to define what that word means, to be saved, by the way. But if you're not saved, might be a little offensive. You may not like to hear it. But we want to be very careful this morning to read from the Word of God. This is the basis on which we're going to speak this message, from the Word of God. No scripture is of any private interpretation, the Word of God says, which simply means we base scripture upon scripture. We don't have a whole lot of different people and opinions, but what we clearly want to do this morning is base what we are going to speak on the Word of God, the Bible. And I think that's very important as we begin this morning. The word call is a command of action. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a command of action. It's upon a name. It refers specifically to a certain person. And the name that's noted here is the name of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall be saved. It's a promise of salvation. And maybe that's a new term to your ears here this morning. What is salvation? Well, if we were to define it in Webster's dictionary, it would simply mean to be saved from. It's to be saved or delivered from. But before we get into that verse, I want to read five gospel verses that would proclaim simply the same message as our main text here this morning. They're found in different parts in the Word of God. You don't have to look them up. I just want to read them as I've written them down here. Acts 16:31 says this: "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." The Gospel of John, verses 1, verse 12, it says, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Isaiah the prophet would write this: "Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth." In the Gospel of Matthew, the Lord Jesus speaking these words, it says, "Come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And the final verse that I've written down here is in the Gospel of John. It says, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Five gospel verses. We're going to go with a very simple outline this morning. 3 points. The first one is salvation promised. The second thing is salvation secured. And thirdly, we want to talk about this idea of salvation, and we're going to explain what that is. But it's salvation inclusive. Meaning everyone here this morning, it is included. This message of salvation is for you in whatever condition, whatever age we have here this morning. It is inclusive. Like I said, this passage, there's a lot in it, and we can't hit on everything that we've read this morning, but we're going to look at a few simple things. One of them is the idea of sin and the guilt that comes along with sin. We want to look at what sin has on any individual, or the power of sin on an individual. We want to look at the penalty of sin. We want to look at the idea of freedom from sin. We want to look at someone's individual's sincere desire to be saved. And I believe all these aspects are implied in the passage we've read this morning. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's a tremendous verse. I think one of the most common response, maybe if you were going to share the gospel story to someone, is their response would be, "I'm okay the way I am." How many people have heard that? "I'm okay the way I am." When you present the Lord Jesus Christ, and in our song service this morning, we talked about the love of Christ and being part of that love. And I would simply say this to any individual here this morning that maybe does not want part of this idea of salvation. I would say this to them. The reason that you need salvation is this: you are on your way to a devil's hell. You're on your way to hell. Now, I don't want you to just take my word for that. I want to read from the Word of God. As we mentioned this morning, we want to base everything from this book. It's not my opinion. It's God's Word. You're lost, and you're on your way to hell. That is the greatest need this morning, or the greatest reason why you need God's salvation. John 3:36 says this: "He that believeth on the Son hath present possession everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That word "saved" implies the opposite, doesn't it? If you need to be saved, then obviously you must be lost. Well, we want to know what that word means. In the Webster's Dictionary, it says having wandered astray. You see, when God created man, there was two in the garden, Adam and Eve, and they were created by God, and they were given all the things that were in the garden. And Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and they became lost. They weren't born lost. We were born lost because we are descendants of Adam and Eve. But Adam and Eve were created, and they were given all the good that God had provided to them in that garden. But they were told not to partake of a certain tree and the fruit thereof, and they disobeyed, and they became lost. And they wandered away from God. They disobeyed God. The Gospel of Luke says this, though: "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost." That's the message this morning. He's come to seek and to save that which was lost. If we accomplish nothing else this morning but this simple thing in your heart this morning, you understand that you've sinned against God and you've been separated from all the good that God can provide you in heaven, in eternity. You come to understand that you are lost without Him, then you're on the right track, because He's come to seek and to save that which was lost. I want to build this message, and maybe I'm ahead of myself, but there's many things to say here this morning. But we want to establish some really concrete things about every individual in the room this morning. And you have to bear with me as I try to build the case for the salvation that God has provided, because it's all built from the Word of God. Salvation promised. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's a promise. It's a promise. But in that promise comes a number of things. We want to talk about this thing called sin, because it's real, and it's part of why the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth, because of the fallen nature of man. Men and women have sinned. And it simply means, a very common verse we use in the gospel is, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I'm sure many of you have heard that verse. It just simply means that we've missed God's perfect standard. We've missed exactly what He wants from men and women. He wants them not to sin, and we've sinned. We've fallen short of His perfect standard, God's law. And if you don't believe me, we can go to one commandment. Maybe many of you are familiar with the Ten Commandments, which is part of God's law. And one of them is this: "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind and soul." This is the first commandment. And I'm going to ask, if a raise of hands, anyone that has kept that from their birth. Have you loved the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind? We've fallen short of the mark. We've sinned. You see, God is holy and right, and He cannot look upon sin. He is a righteous God, but He's also a just God. How is He going to deal with individuals? And I want to tell you this morning, God deals with individuals. He doesn't deal with groups. He deals with individuals. And people are saved one at a time. So we've fallen short of what God has required. Romans 8 verse 1 says this: "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh." That means simply after their own strength, but they walk after the Spirit, which happens when a person trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They are indwelt by the Spirit of God, and they go in His strength. There's lots to be said here. I pray I'll be simple this morning. We need to understand the idea of the guilt of sin, though, and being lost. So we have a salvation that is promised. There was a lady at a time, a story was told of a lady who had was very ill. And she wasn't aware of her illness or exactly what it was, but she was not well. And she goes to the doctor, and she needs x-rays to see what is going on in her body. But she is a poor woman. She has no money. And she goes to the doctor, and she says, "Doctor, I'm not very well. I have a very severe illness, obviously. I'm very ill. I need some x-rays. I want to find out what is wrong with me." So the doctor agrees to take the x-rays with free. "Listen, I don't want your money." He felt sorry for the lady. He says, I want to take these x-rays, and I'm not going to charge you anything." And so the x-rays are taken, and lo and behold, in the lady's blouse was a whole whack of coins sewn into her blouse. And the reason I tell you that little story is that that's how God looks at you. He can see transparency. You might look good on the outside. You might be a good moral person. You might say that, "You know what? I'm better than Joe down the street. I've never hurt anyone. I've never murdered." But you're transparent to God, and He looks at your heart. That's the God in whom you have to deal with in a coming day. And you are transparent in front of Him. Every individual here this morning, He can see your heart. He knows your very thoughts. Oh, you need to be saved. You see, there's a power in sin also. You might not think it, but sin has power on many individuals' lives, whether it be the drinking or pride, self-righteousness, dishonesty. Maybe you have a big ego. I don't know you all. But God looks on the heart. And sin, whether you want to believe it or not, has a power on your life here this morning apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ promises to save you from your sin and the consequences of carrying your own sin. Abraham Lincoln, January 1st, 1865, freed in America 3 million slaves. He freed them. You know why he could do that? Because he was the president of the United States of America. He had the power to do that. 3 million slaves were set free. What a tremendous act that would have been. But I want to tell you this morning, there's something far greater that can free you from your sin. And there's only one individual that has the power to do that. And His name is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And you might ask me, how can He do that? We're going to get there. But I'm trying to build a foundation on locating where you are here this morning in light of the Scriptures, in light of the Word of God. So if you were to admit that you are a sinner, there's a penalty to sin. And the penalty is death. It says in the Word of God, the wages of sin is death. And in the Word of God, you'll have to take my word for it, in the Word of God, the idea of death simply means separation. Separation from God. And you might think this morning, well, that's not so bad. I've done okay without God so far. I'll be all right down the road. Do you know that God provides you your every breath? He's the sustainer of everything. And you need Him. What is the cost of being a sinner? It is death. Revelation 21, verse 8 says this, But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's the fate. That's the penalty of being a sinner. But remember our verse. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's good news. It's a way out, so to speak. It's a way out of God's pending judgment. This idea of being saved, what happens to someone when they get saved, delivered from their sin? Well, they inherit a new relationship. They come back into a relationship with God. And they receive all the inheritance of what God has planned for them. It's a sonship. It's a relationship brought back to God. It's given eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God on our wall here is eternal life. And it's through Jesus Christ. Heaven secured and hell avoided. That's what happens when you get saved. Heaven secured and hell avoided. We want to talk about salvation secured. We secure salvation by how? By calling on His name. How is it possible to know with certainty that I will spend eternity in heaven and not in hell? How is that possible? Here's a couple verses from the Word of God that would explain that. In the book of Hebrews, it says this, For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, let's just stop there. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, that's us. That's who we are. We got flesh and blood, okay? He also, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, likewise took part in the same. He came down from heaven, the Son of God, and He took upon Himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. So are you with me so far? He came down and He became like us. That through His death He might destroy Him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Sin. You see, you're in bondage to sin whether you believe it or not. And the Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven. He was the eternal Son of God. And through death at Calvary, He made a payment for sin. And He took upon your sin and mine, and through that He defeated Satan, and He broke the bond of sin. Another verse, for Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just, the Lord Jesus Christ being the spotless, sinless Lamb of God, He had no sin of His own, the just for the unjust, sinners, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We talked about sin. I want to talk about your willingness this morning to give up your sin. Let me remind you, the Lord Jesus Christ came and died for your sin. I guess my question to you this morning, do you want to be saved? Do you want to give up your sin? Do you want to spend eternity in heaven. You see, the call is to what? Whosoever shall call upon the name. We've seen that word N-A-M-E in a number of verses we've read this morning. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. The most common, or at least a very well-heard response to the gospel is, you've got your religion, I've got mine, leave me alone. Have you ever heard that before? You've got your religion, I've got mine. Well, let me ask you this morning, what does your religion do for you? What does it do for you? Does it give you a peace? Does it give you and secure eternal life with the Son of God in heaven? I've got your religion, you've got your religion, I've got mine, leave me alone. What does your religion do for you here this morning? Does it take you to a heaven, or does it damn you to a hell? Are you relying on what you understand? See, we're not trying to build God into this morning into something that will just work for every individual. That's why I said that at the outset, we're basing it on the Word of God. And anything I've said this morning, I pray, is from this book. Let's be honest this morning. Be honest with yourself. Where do you stand before a holy God who cannot look upon sin? Some would say that this message is very narrow, that we're not very broad-minded, and we're very narrow in our view. And I would answer to them, I suppose, if I was being honest, we are very narrow. But the Word of God says this, the Lord Jesus himself said this, he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And he says, no man can come to me unless he comes through me. No man can come to the Father, unless through me, unless by me. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no, let me quote, I better not try to quote this, I got it written down. Neither is there salvation in any, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You know, we talked about the guilt of sin. We've talked about the power of sin. We've talked about the damnation and judgment, all real things. But I want to tell you, it's Valentine's Day, isn't it? And I'm sure you spouses love your wife and vice versa. You love each other. It's a great thing to be loved. But I want to tell you, the greatest love story you'll ever hear is that about John 3:16. It's a very simple verse. You all know it. Maybe you don't. But here it is. For God, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, there's that word again, the all-inclusive gospel, that whosoever, that includes you here this morning, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, should not be under judgment, should not be under wrath, should not perish, but have present possession today in the Charlottetown Bible Chapel, eternal life. That's the greatest love story you'll ever hear. And he'll not only save you today, but he'll take you right through. And there's a verse in the Bible that says, he that hath begun a good work shall complete it until the day of Christ. It's a complete work. It's inclusive. And it's for you. Do you know him? In whom to know is life eternal. What's hindering people from accepting this message? I prayed with a brother this morning, and you know, it's hard to understand. How can you turn it down? It's great news. Maybe you say to me this morning, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough for this message. It's too religious. Well, I'll tell you, you're the prime candidate for it if you think you're not good enough, because he came to seek and to save those that are lost. Think of the ones around the cross at Calvary roughly 2,000 years ago. And I wonder if one of them would go up to Peter and say, you know what, I was the one that took the spear and I drove it into the Son of God's side. What about me? Do I have a chance? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What about the one that drove the nails into the Son of God's hands and feet? What about him? Does he have an opportunity? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's all inclusive. You can't get out of it. It's for you. It's been accomplished. It's a complete work. And to prove it, God the Father raised his Son and he's living today. That's the gospel we preach. Jesus Christ, risen, the Son of God. And as Paul would say, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He gave himself. He suffered. He died. He bled and died. And he made payment for your sin. As big of a sin or as small of a sin you might think you have, he paid for it. And he wants you in his heaven. For God so loved the world, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. It's simple. You don't have to speak with me. I get saved just like all the rest of them here. I was a sinner and I realized I needed a Savior. I'm no paid preacher. This isn't my job. I'm a construction worker. That's all I do. But I'm saved. I know where I'm going to spend eternity. And you can know this morning. Trust Him. Trust Him. All that He has done. If you want to talk to me, I'd be more than happy to show you from this book. I can't save you, but I'll tell you, this book has lots to tell you about how to get saved. That's the end of my message. I trust you'll embrace him, call upon him today. I was asked to give a little word on baptism. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to read just a few verses in Romans chapter 6. If you have a Bible, I'll just get you to turn there. Romans chapter 6. We have a lady here this morning that is going to be baptized. And I want to say on the outset of this, she's saved. This baptism isn't going to save her anymore. She's on her way to heaven. Let's read a few verses from Romans chapter 6. We'll begin at verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. A lot in that few verses there. But we want to explain this morning of what's happening with Nancy here this morning. She's going to get baptized in this tank of water. I want to tell you, there's nothing special about the water. It's the water we drink. It's symbolic of something, though. Nancy this morning is identifying herself with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Nancy goes under the waters, she's identifying herself with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what did we just talk about? His death accomplished the putting away of sin. And as she comes out of the water, it's symbolic of the newness of life. And she's identifying herself in this public forum here this morning that she has trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. And she wants to tell the world that she's identified with the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a tremendous thing to be saved. It's an act of obedience. She's obeying God by being baptized. It's one of the ordinances. It's in the Word of God, and it commands us to be baptized. It does not save. Only Christ can save. So we'll just turn the meeting over. I suspect. Move this over to the side.